Today, we continue with lesson number 59 in our study of Mishnayos Meseches Kelim. Today, we will conclude the 15th perek, and we will begin the 16th perek. So we will learn the 6th Mishnah of the 15th perek and the 1st Mishnah of the 16th perek. Perek Tezvov, Mishneh Vov, and Perek Tezayin, Mishnah Aleph. So we'll begin now with Perek Tesvov, Mishneh Vov. The last Mishnah in Perek Tesvov. Nivlei Hashoro. A navel is a harp-like instrument. Often it is translated, when you come across it in Tanakh, Kinor is translated as a harp, and navel is translated as a psalter, P-S-A-L-T-E-R. But the Mefarshim say that it is a harp-like instrument, a stringed instrument. In fact, in Medrash Tehillim, Kapitel Pei Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, Rashi there says, on kinar no'im im novel, that a kinar instrument is sweet, sounds sweet together with a navel instrument. So Rashi there quotes a Medrash Tehillim which reads, Rabchia Barabba Omer, hu navel, hu kinar. That a navel and a kinar are synonyms. They both mean a type of harp. In any case, the harp is Tumeyim, is Mekabel Tuma. And the reason is, explains the Bartanura, because in the harp there are little hollows which are made, little grooves, and of all things they are made for people to toss coins into them. Because the musician playing the harp would play the harp in front of a public, and he expected the audience to throw in some coins into these little holes in the harp. So therefore the harp did have a base kibul, and it was Mekabel coins, and therefore it's Temeyim, it's Mekabel Tuma. V'nivlei b'nei Levi, however, the harps used by the Levian, who used the harps to accompany their songs in the Beis HaMikdosh, Tahorin, is not Mekabel Tuma, because those harps did not have these little grooves, because the Levian weren't collecting pennies from their audience. Some say that the harp is only Mekabel Tuma midrabbonon. And in the Beis HaMikdosh, we have a rule, Ein Shvus BaMikdosh. There are no, by and large, there are no gezeros derabbonon in the Beis HaMikdosh. So therefore, the Nivlei Bnei Levi are not Mekabel Tuma. Next, a very famous statement, which here is just kind of brushed over. It's discussed in great detail in various sugyas and shas, especially the famous sugya of Chanina Ketzkan HaKohanim in Maseches Psochim. Kol HaMashkim Tumeim, all liquids are Mekabel Tuma. Umashke Beis Matbechaya, however, the liquids which are to be found in the slaughter area of the temple courtyard where you slaughtered animals, meaning the water and the blood found there, Tahorin, are not Mekabel Tuma. In the case of the mashkim, of the liquids, we're speaking of seven liquids. The siman is Yad, Shechat, Dam. Yad, Yayin and Vash, wine and honey, which honey means, of course, date honey. Shechat means shemen, olive oil. Cholov, milk, and tes, tal, dew. And dam means dam, blood, and mayim. So they are Mekabel Tuma, A, and B, they are machshir, they prepare foodstuffs to be Mekabel Tuma. So if you have an apple off a tree, the apple is not Mekabel Tuma until it is first moistened. So any of those liquids can render the apple roi Lekabel Tuma, meaning it can be machshir it Lekabel Tuma, as opposed to the mashke beit mitmechaya, the mashke to be found in the Azora on the temple courtyard, mayim and dam, are not Mekabel Tuma A, and also are not Machshir Ochel, for the Ochel to be Mekabel Tuma. Kol HaSeforim, all the holy books of Kitzvei HaKodesh, of Torah, Neviim, Uksuvim, Mitamen Es HaYodayim. If you touch the parchment of any book of Tanakh, whether it's Chumash Vayikra or Eov or Chveis Hoshea, it's miyom kabel. It's your hands become tome. Chutz mi sefer ho'azora, except for the sefer Torah, special sefer Torah which was kept in the temple courtyard, that is not mekabel tuma. What's this all about? So the Gemara explains in Maseches Shabbos that people once had a custom that if they had a kikor shel truma, they had a loaf of bread that was truma. Truma is holy. They wanted to store it somewhere safe. So they would take the loaves of truma bread and put it in the aron, in the ark, or in the container, or in the closet, where they kept the Sifrei Kodesh, where they kept the Torah and the Neviim Uksuvim. And they used to say, Shneim Kodesh, you have a holy book, you have a holy truma, let's put them in the same pantry. No, the mice didn't distinguish between what's Kodesh and what's Chol. And the mice would come into the pantry and they would see the loaves, the smell or whatever, the loaves of bread, truma, and they would eat it. And also, in the process, they would chew on the svarim. And therefore, the svarim became ruined. So there was a gzera made by the Chachomim that if you put truma next to the sefer, the truma would become tomei. And not only that, but more than that, any time you handle the Sefer Torah, whatever, the parchment of it, you would be calm, your hands would become tomei, except for the Sefer in the Azora, which was so chashuv that nobody would even dream of putting loaves of bread next to it, and therefore there was no gezerah there. The Tiferes Yisrael says, we're in the middle of our discussion of kliyats, musical instruments and whatnot, do we have this? These two sentences here, the one about Kol HaMashkim Temeyim and the one of Kol HaSforim Etamen Es HaYodayim. So he says very simply, because since in the first sentence in this Mishnah, we make a distinction between ordinary harps and a harp used in the Beis HaMikdash, so he gave us two other examples, the Mashkim and the Sforim, where there's a difference between ordinary Mashkim, which are Mekabel Tumo, and Mashkim in the Beis HaMikdash, which is not. Ordinary Sforim, I hate to say ordinary, but ordinary sacred Sforim are Metamei Es HaYodayim, but the Sefer in the Sefer Torah, in the Azorah, in the temple courtyard, the Beis HaMikdash, is not Mekabel Tumo. The Mishnah continues, Hamarkof. No, a Markof is what we would call in English a hobby horse, a toy horse. So it has the head of a horse made of wood and a long pole, and you kind of sit on the pole and jump around and pretend that you're riding a horse. And comedians use it, entertainers use it, children use it as a toy. That is tahor, is not Mekabel Tuma. There's no base kibble there. Habatnon is a heavy instrument which when the musician carries it, he kind of has it lean upon his stomach. It's interesting that the Rambam, when he describes a batnon, he calls it al-kitra, which I think might mean in Arabic a guitar, kitra, a guitar. But in any case, it's a heavy instrument, musical instrument, which the musician carries upon his beten, upon his stomach. Vahaniktimon, niktimon is also a musical instrument, the Bartanura says, which is shaped in the kind of like a crutch, or an invalid will use to walk with. So it's a long wooden instrument. Veho Eros, and also another musical instrument called the Eros, which gives a very strong, shrill type of sound. All of these musical instruments, Hare Elu Tumeyim, are Mekabel Tuma, for the same reason as the Nevel is Mekabel Tuma, because the musician would have little holes in this instrument where people could put in coins, money, and therefore these kalim did have a base kibble. Rabbi Yehuda goes further and says, "Ho Eros, this musical instrument called the Eros is Tomei Moshov. It's if a person sits on it, a zov or a zova sits on it, he makes it into an av hatuma, because it is considered a seat, this eros. It's not only a musical instrument, it is a seat. Sometimes people sit on it. Who sits on it? So he explains, b'pnei sheho aloyis yosheves alov. Aloyis is a professional lamenter, a woman usually, who professionally goes to funerals and wails and plays a certain type of musical instrument which is designed to stimulate feelings of grief. And when she does this, this act of singing or chanting these kinos, these elegies, Yoshev Esolov, she sits upon the Eros. So therefore, the Eros can constitute a moshav and can become, under certain circumstances, even an av hatumah. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, because it's only occasionally that this Eros is used for this mikonenes, for this wailer, to sit upon. Normally it's used just for musical instruments at parties or whatever. But when there's a funeral, so the mekonenes will sit upon it. So therefore the Chachamim say it is not a Tomei Tumas Moshov. The Mishnah continues to distinguish between two types of animal traps. One is Mitsudas HaChuldo, a trap which is designed to catch weasels, rodents of some type. V'shel ho'achborim, that's tameya, that is mekabel tumo. V'shel ho'achborim, a mouse trap, is tahora, is not mekabel tumo. Various reasons given for why there's a difference between the mitzudas chulda and the mitzudas tahora, but the reason given by the Vilna Gaon and others is this. The chulda, you don't only want to kill the chulda, get rid of this rodent. But this particular rodent of the chulda had good fur, and you could make a fur coat out of it. So you wanted not only to kill the chulda, but to trap it and to keep it whole, so that you could use its skin, its hide. So therefore, it had a base kibble, it had a cage of some sort in which you contained the chulda, and therefore it's mekabel tuma. But the mouse, no one is trying to save the mouse's skin for anything. You just want to kill the darn thing. So therefore, there's no place there that's a base kibble to contain it. No base kibble, it's putically eitz, and it's not mekabel tuma. We have now finished Perek Tesvov, the 15th Perek. There are 30 prokim in Maseches Kelim. So we are, good news, we are halfway there. Baruch Hashem. And now we're going to learn one more Mishnah, so we'll be a little more than halfway to the Siyum, Yetzer Hashem, of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim. And we will begin Perek number 16. We're still discussing the halachos of kliyates, of wooden utensils, wooden vessels. And the Mishnah says, Kol kliyates shenechalak lishnayim tor. If you have a wooden vessel, a wooden utensil, a wooden saucer, and it breaks in half, so each piece is now, if it was Tomei, each piece is now Tor, because it, the Kli Eitz is broken, and the Shever Kli is Tor. A. B. When it was whole and Tor, it could be Mekabel Tuma. When it's broken in two, the pieces are not Mekabel Tuma. Except the Mishnah is going to give a list of several types of wooden utensils which are designed to be used either one part of it today and one part of it tomorrow, or to be used when it's connected and as one. So sometimes you use it as two, sometimes you use it as one. So, chutz mishulchan hakaful, a doubled over table, meaning a table made of two parts, a folding table, which are connected with hinges, and it's possible either to fold it up so it's one table, or to open it, to fold it up so it's half a table, or to open it up so it's a much longer table. If such a shulchan is split into half, it is mekabel tuma, because each half is a table in itself. So therefore it is mekabel tuma, even if it's split into half. And similarly, v'samchui ha-miznon, if you have a large tray which is divided into different sections, So you have a tray where there's a section for the vegetables, a section for the meat, a section for the applesauce, built into the tray, different little receptacles built into the tray. So that type of tamtchoy, that type of tray, if that gets broken in half, each half is still mekabel tumah, because what happened is you took a tray which had, let's say, six compartments. Now you broke it in half, so there's two trays, each with three compartments, and each compartment is mekabel the food, and therefore there's a base kibbul, and it's the functions as an independent kli, and it is mekabel tumah. And v'ha'efiforin shel bal habayis. Efiforin is, again, various translations, but the most common translation is it's some type of a footstool which the person could open and close. I guess when you're in a reclining chair, you have a kind of a footstool, which if you want to sit three quarters from being erect, so you have the afifiron closer to you. If you want to really spread out and stretch your feet, you extend the afifiron. So something like that, if it's broken into half, each half still has a function, so therefore it is each half is mekabel tumah. Rabbi Yehuda adds to this list af hamoges. Moges is also a type of a dish which has two halves to it. Imagine a large pot which has some type of dividing wall down the middle. And vikod habavli is some type of a wooden cup which also has a dividing wall down the middle of it. So there too, kiyotze bohen, says Rabbi Yehuda. This too, if it's broken in half, even if it's broken in half, it is mekabel tumah. The Mefarshim say that the reason, that Rabbi Yehuda's reason is this, that the list of Shulchan HaKoful, Tamchoy HaMiznon, are built so that, are constructed in such a way that you can separate them into two. So therefore, if it becomes broken into two, each half is Mekabel Tumah. But this Magos, although it has two compartments to it, or this Kod HaBavli has two compartments to it, but it's not designed to be taken apart. It's designed to be kept intact. And therefore, if it's broken in half, even though each half can function, nevertheless, it's Rabbi Yehuda would still say it's mekabel tumah, and the Chacham would say, no, such a thing is not mekabel tumah, only if it's designed to be detached, like the folding tables of old. The Mishnah continues, klei eitz me'emosai mekablin tumah. At what point in the manufacturing process is a wooden utensil mekabel tumah? Now, wood, raw lumber, has splinters, and therefore, when it's not perfectly polished, smooth, varnished in some way, so you don't want to use it, certainly not as a bed or a couch or a bench to sit on, because you're going to get splinters into your body. So what they used to do in the olden days is they used to massage it or smear it with the hide of a fish, which had some type of a grease on it, which would lubricate and smooth the wood so that it would eliminate the problem of the splinters. So kliyetz me'emosai mekablin tumah. If you have a wooden utensil, at what point is it mekabel tumah? So hamito v'ho'arisa, when it comes to a bed or a cradle, mishi yishufein b'yor hadog, when they are rubbed and smoothed with the hide of a fish, which is designed to smooth it and to remove the splinters which might scratch the person if you didn't have this shifshuf. How goma shalo lo shuf, but suppose a person made a decision, you know, I don't care about splinters, I'm going to wear gloves, whatever, I don't care about splinters, so I'm not going to go through this fishy process. So goma, he decided shalo lo shuf, not to smear it with this fish hide. So then, tameya, it's mekabel tumah even before the rubbing with this or hadag. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hamita Mishiyasorek Bo Shloshe Botim. Rabbi Meir says, no, a mita has a different criterion from which point it becomes roi to be Mekabel Tumah. And though the beds of that time were kind of woven, you would take long cords or belts of fabric and stretch a number of them vertically from top to bottom of the bed, and then you would weave under them another belt or fabric or rope, weave it horizontally from left to right across the bed, and then you would have kind of something to lie upon. So when you do that, Rabbi Meir says, when you start being misareg, when you start to weave them in this way, and you've woven three boxes, because imagine a tic-tac-toe type design. So as you weave the orev into the shesi, the horizontal fibers through the vertical fibers, you begin. So you, the first loop, you have one little box in the tic-tac-toe box. You keep going, you have another little box. You keep going, you have a third little box. So once you have these three boxes, which he calls batim, then it's a finished bed. And the halacha is not like Rabbi Meir, but rather we follow the Tanakhama, that the mito and arisa, until there is yishufein bior hadog, until they're smooth with this fish hide, they are not yet mekabel tumah, because they have not yet reached the stage of their gemar malacha of being a finished product. And so we have completed lesson number 59 in our ongoing study of Meseches, Mishnayos Meseches Kelim. And in the process, we have begun the 16th Perek.